Hey, this is the last time we're doing this for a while. So just want to let you know one final time. We swear and stuff. And thank you for the support. We really appreciate it.
So no head.
Welcome to the Just Plain Filthy Podcast. I'm Casey Campbell.
I'm TJ Vegas, and today we got some wrestling headlines and some theories. We're going to recap two special events that happened recently. We hold a discussion topic about movie reboots, and apparently, Casey's got a game for me.
Oh yeah, I do.
But to start, before we start all that off, Casey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I got a busy fucking day today, doing this, and then I gotta help my mom with something, and then I'm doing something else, but other than that, we're rolling, we're rocking and we're rolling.
Hey. All my morning this morning has just been very weird. I'm doing a bunch of shit, I don't exactly know why. I've just been sitting in my living room typing up reviews and stuff, because I started doing that for, like, horror movies. So, cheap plug, I have Happy Birthday to Me and Sleepaway Camp reviews with kill ratings on our website, justplainfilthy.com. Also, I've just been sitting in the living room, and I have the rhythm and just, like, the overall vibe of Sober by Tool stuck in my head. Nice. I don't like Tool, but I just find it funny that I just know, like, the na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And then I'm just like, what random shit can I say to the tune of that?
How do you like Sleep Token and hate Tool?
I think it's mostly the fans.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I kind of grew up with, like, Tool and A Perfect Circle and Chevelle. And
we live in Nashua. Everybody around us is a Tool.
Not gonna lie, Tool fans in Texas are way cooler than Tool fans up here.
Way Tooler.
Way Tooler.
I was just like, looking like a fucking emu.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I don't know. And then I was like, shitting in my poopy diaper.
Because
somebody was being a fucking baby on a show that I was watching. And I was trying to brainstorm it, and I was like, damn, if I would have thought about this more, I could have came up with a list.
You could have done the damn thing.
Could have ran the gauntlet with this fucking melody.
Snooty, snooty, snooty.
Yeah. Also, before we get into everything, I find it really weird that if you look at me from a year ago, everything that I was clowning on and wasn't really into is everything that I'm totally into right now.
That's the way that happens, man.
I was just like, y'all are watching anime? That's fucking dumb. And now I'm like, I'm rewatched the entire series of Attack on Titan to lead up to the new thing that they're dropping in March. I'm reading One Piece. I am watching Seven Deadly Sins.
Oh shit.
And I'm rewatching Made in Abyss.
That's fucking amazing. I gotta finish fucking, what's it called? Demon Slayer.
Yeah, Tanya was like, we need to get back into that. And I was just like, yeah, but then I forgot all about it and we started another show. And now my brain can't focus on this many things. So now it's gonna just be put on the back burner until we're finally done this again.
That's why I don't clown shit, man. Like, I see people clowning shit all the time. And then I'm like, you're going to like this thing in like a year.
I think it was the fact that everything that I knew of the stuff that I've seen, it was just really bad.
Corny.
And then when I finally like jumped into something and saw it from the beginning, I was like, okay. But everything I was seeing from like people posting and people sharing clips, I was just like, this is fucking strange. I don't like this.
What have you not learned that like fans of anything suck?
Oh yeah, from I know that fans of wrestling suck. And I'm guilty of that because I'm very opinionated.
Are you a fan of something? You should probably stop.
yeah, but also in our group chat, it's just like, how dare you like things?
Well, yeah, but also...
But also, how dare you be a fan of things?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a weird oxymoron.
Something brings you joy? Couldn't be me.
Go fuck yourself. But also, if something brings you too much joy, you should stop.
Yeah, so it's just been emo, it's just been revisiting old emo bands and stuff that I really enjoyed. I was listening to things like June.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
The receiving end of Sirens and Saves the Day and all that.
I love Saves the Day.
And then I've been just on a giant horror movie binge. I'm going to check out Sleepaway Camp 3 soon. I'm
going to
watch the
one?
Maniac Cop series, and I'm going to rewatch a bunch of other stuff.
Hell yeah. I have to rewatch The Screams.
Oh yeah, because the new one's coming out.
New one's coming out in March, yep.
Only one that I kind of remember is the first one. I know I've seen up to like the third.
Yeah.
But nothing stuck with me.
I think you're getting better with that, to be honest.
A little bit. I'm trying to revisit things that I haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything comes back to me.
Yeah.
Like straight up memory about me talking about something. I have no fucking clue.
Feel that.
When you were talking about the third Friday, third Nightmare on Elm Street, like, a month ago, I was like, God damn it. I know I've watched it, but I
Dream
recall none of this.
Warriors. You don't remember the fucking Dio song?
No, I don't.
Dio kicks ass. My dad fucking found out that I love Dio at karaoke, and he's like, since when do you listen to Dio? And I was like, dude, Dio kicks ass. What are you talking about?
I only listen to Celine Dion.
Celine Dio, though. That would
I need
be awesome.
To make a shirt with Celine Dion on it, and her face is just Rodney James Dio.
I want a shirt of
That's
a
horrifying.
I want a shirt of a certain part of Terrifier that says, damn, I feel like a woman on it.
I'm pretty sure I know the exact scene, because that movie is incredible.
Da, 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 da.
Let's go, girl.
Yeah. I gotta fucking edit that.
But yeah, let's getting into everything. Royal Rumble is approaching.
Yay!
Not much is known about people being involved in the Royal Rumble this year,
it's
as opposed
be
to other years.
Sick.
People are complaining that they're giving away all these people. Homie, there's 30 people in the Rumble. We know of, like, 12.
I don't care that I know that Cody Rhodes is coming back. I know that Cody Rhodes is winning the championship at Mania already.
That's just a way for people to be like, hey, I'm a fan of Cody Rhodes. He's going to be there. This means I'm going to watch it.
Adrenaline.
You know how many people are probably not going to watch it if they didn't know Cody Rhodes would have been there?
Yeah, a ton.
Yeah. But there's a whole laundry list of people that... are rumored to be in the Royal Rumble this year for men's.
Yay! I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm sure you've heard The Rock.
The Rock? Yeah, he's denied it. I hope not, because I want Night 1 Sammy versus Roman, Night 2 Cody versus Roman. Both belts separately on the line.
Oh yeah, for WrestleMania. I was like, why the fuck are they doing two nights of the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, man. I mean, crazy.
I have no way of watching that. I'm getting ready after work on Saturday, and then I'm working all day Sunday, and then I go on vacation Monday.
Well, they're doing this huge build with Sammy, and, like, fucking, you gotta do something with that, else you have another Daniel Bryan situation on your hands. And
yeah.
if the
I want to see him in that spot. I don't know if he's going to win the Royal Rumble.
No. I mean, if he wins the Rumble, he's not winning the title. I have a plan on how to make that go down, because The Rock has said he's not going to be at the Rumble or Mania. So, but he could be lying.
Do you want to give your plan, and then we'll run down a couple other rumors?
Yeah. I think what we need to do is we need to do a Luger and Bret Hart situation, where Cody and Sammy go over and land at the same time.
Okay.
We need to have a tie at the Rumble this year. That way, both of them can go off and try to take the separate belts from Roman. Sammy obviously fails. Cody obviously succeeds. And then, I don't know, have him throw away that fucking stupid design and bring back the Winged Eagle. Because that's what he's gonna fucking do, and I'm excited.
It's just gonna be a spinner of Dusty's face.
No! Winged Eagle!
The champ is here, baby.
The champ is here. A belt holds up your pants.
That's why we're gonna have the WWE Heavyweight Championship ring.
Oh.
Just like a ring of honor. He's like, we have a literal ring of honor. And everyone's like, get fucked, Cody.
Dynamite diamond ring. No, I think he's going to throw away the current design and bring back classic design like he did with the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, that's still the best championship.
Until Vince comes back and goes, what the fuck?
Hell, I'm still a fan of the new Intercontinental Championship. That's still, like, the best one on the main roster for WWE.
It's a great design, mainly because it doesn't look like everything else.
WWE UK Heavyweight Championship is still the prettiest championship that WWE had.
Oh! If you could, like... I don't care if all the belts are the same shape. Just make them different somehow. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think Rumble is exciting this year because Triple H is at the wheel. We've had, at this point, multiple stars go to multiple places. One that I'm kind of pissed off because he didn't get to go. AJ was supposed to be at Wrestle Kingdom, but he got hurt.
Yeah, he was. They're like, you're gonna fly all the way around the world to Japan, and he was like, "No can do, boss. The world is flat."
That doesn't work for me, brother.
Doesn't work for me, brother.
Or maybe it does, dude. I don't know.
Shout out to that. Boss. That leads me to another rumor, because who got to go over there was Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
And you know who knew who he fought?
Great Muda
was. The Great Muda. Now, Muda is done. Muda is done. His last match happened recently. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the man himself, Kaiji Moto, is still very much there. His last match is February 21st.
Oh, damn.
What better way of getting him into something like the WWE Hall of Fame than to have him come in for his first ever appearance in the WWE for the Royal Rumble?
That would be kind of fucking sick, actually.
Throw a couple thrust kicks, you know, hit somebody with Shining Wizard, shoot somebody with the mist, get like two people eliminated. Look like a star for a bit, then have a younger guy eliminate you, they get the rub. You showed up, you showed out, you put somebody else over, damn, now you're in the Hall of Fame.
That would be kind of awesome, yeah. Honestly. There's definitely going to be some New Japan, some Noah... because they're not making these deals happen for nothing in return, especially since all of this shit happened in January.
I have another rumor in a little bit, but it's not regarding the men's, it's about the women's.
Ooh. Money.
I heard somebody say Batista, but I don't think that holds any merit.
No, fuck no. Batista's not coming back.
Oh my god, he's leaving Guardians of the Galaxy. That just means one thing. He's going to go to the WWE.
No, he's going to continue to be one of the most successful and highly, highly lauded wrestlers turned actor.
Yeah, and he's going to continue to say, fuck Manny Pacquiao.
Exactly. Which we love to see.
Which I agree, that dude's a bitch.
We love to see it, honestly.
Yeah, the women's side, though... There's one name nobody would have thought of, but somebody asked her in an interview, and she didn't deny it.
Aja Kong.
What?
Aja Kong.
No, but along the same lines.
Let's go!
Miyu Yamashita.
Oh, shit.
Miyu is trying to go every single place in the world that will allow her to come in even for a single match.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to show the world that she is the best Joshi wrestler in the world currently. And somebody said, is there any truth that you could be into the WWE Women's Royal Rumble this year as a surprise entrant, because there's a lot of people saying there's going to be some forbidden door, quote, entrances for both men's and women's.
Well, of course.
And she said, and I quote,
based hatred at the wheel.
She said, we don't really know what happens in life. Whenever she is, her interpreter says, we don't really know what happens in life. Whenever she is brought to America, she tries to wrestle as many places as she can. She tries to visit as many places as she can, and she sees videos from AEW and WWE. Honestly, right now, she can't imagine herself being there, but again, we don't know where life takes her and what happens in life. So it's not zero.
The future.
But, like, if they're saying that, they have some people who she has history with on the roster, and they're saying some forbidden door things that have never happened before. It's not off the table.
No, obviously not.
I'd love to see it, though.
I mean, especially with Triple H at the wheel for as long as he's going to be, I expect this Rumble to be chock full of surprises, better than last year.
Yeah, especially with only like 12, 13 people announced for the men's and only like 6 or 7 for the women's right now.
Of course. Like, it's gonna be different. Especially since after last year was so disappointing because Vince basically said, fuck everyone except TNA! Which he never does.
Yeah, for the most part, it's always been, fuck TNA, but okay with everybody else.
Except for that time we almost brought in Abyss to face The Undertaker at Mania.
Oh, that would have been sick.
And Sting.
Yeah, but besides that, I'm pretty sure the only, like, real surprise is we might get Mickie James again.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And we're probably just going to get the same old cast of characters we always get. We're going to get a Molly Holly. We might get a Victoria.
Yeah.
And we're going to get Trish and Lita. Yeah. We're going to get that same thing. And I'd really appreciate it if we would stay away from Trish and Lita because, you know, at this point, it's lost its novelty.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. You would have to ask Lita about this, but I think Lita could go one more run, definitely. She hasn't so far in the last couple of years, but the work that she has put in every time she comes back, whether it be for a Rumble or for a one-off match, still good. Like,
what if we got Bull Nankato?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I mean, you talked about Aja Kong, but, you know, flip it up, you know, what about Bull?
Let's do it.
She was a part of it for a little bit, and she is a pioneer, and she still has a working relationship with WWE.
I think that would be fucking sick. I've heard Jay White is another possibility. Ooh. Honestly, any Bullet Club guy could probably show up.
I'd be down with that. Tama Tonga was always rumored to be part of this for a while.
Yeah, that would be fucking sick. Have him come in, throw fucking Finn out. That'd be funny.
Yeah, he's there. Gorillas!
Oh, that'd be so fucking dope.
Yeah, we just fantasy booking at this point. But, like, Royal Rumble is literally the only pay-per-view that I try to make a point to watch from WWE. So, I'm going to try to find a way to do it. If I can't watch it in real time, I'm going to try to download Peacock on my phone so I can try to watch this on the plane if there's Wi-Fi.
Fuck yeah.
Because I got like a 3.5-hour flight. That's like the entire show.
Yeah, you're going to Florida.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Whole bunch of vegan food and beach hangs and seeing my niece.
God damn. I want to get fucking Taco Bell tonight. I'm going to see if we can get Taco Bell tonight.
Okay, on to the next thing. We brought it up earlier, but the Great Muda had his last match.
Yeah.
Wrestling Noah put on a thing called Muda's Final Bye-Bye. And the main event was Bye. Darby Allin, Sting, and the Great Muda facing Naomichi Marufuji. Akira, who is apparently like an 80s Japanese wrestler.
Yeah.
And
Akira.
Yeah, and Hakushi.
Yeah.
And Hakushi, let me just say, Hakushi looks phenomenal.
Same as he did in fucking 1995. Like,
yeah, or that 96 Royal Rumble when he came in.
Oh, shit. That was pretty good. Because he had the one-off with Brett on Raw, and then he was in the Rumble. I remember that.
Yeah. Still has all those, like, I don't know how the fuck they do it so neatly. It must be like a roller or something, but he has like tattoos, quote tattoos,
kanji all over him,
head and all over his body.
Yep,
and they're like so precise.
I think it's definitely a you just gotta sit there and fucking let him.
Like Stranger Things guy in makeup, just being like, it took me 7 hours, and it's like I literally had 4 hours of people scribbling all over my body.
Oh, that. Honestly, you better hope that wardrobe has your shit on lock, because you will not be able to get up before your match. Like,
yeah. But that match was really good. Like, Muda showed out. He did all his good things. He hit the mist. He hit the knee. He did some extra stuff I'll get to in a little bit.
Call somebody the F slur. No.
Not this time. Not
signature
this time.
Move.
He calls this the F bomb.
Oh, God.
The other F-bomb. Darby Allin, you know, went out, made himself into a human missile.
Yeah.
Hit the coffin drop, did the code red, all the stuff. Sting, hit on people's face. Chop, stinger splashes, all the good stuff. Hakushi, though, he played the gimmick up perfectly. He's the white demon. He's possessed. He's walking on the ropes. He's diving to the outside. He took a fucking table bump. He got launched off the apron, flew back about 10 feet, and landed through a table.
That's crazy.
56 years old.
Nope.
Like, what
you wouldn't
the fuck?
Catch me doing
he
that.
He sold
now.
It beautifully. But when he was down, this is where things got pretty good. Great Muda went over to his like his worshipper. And grabbed the prayer stick that's got like his script written on it, and just snapped it over his knee, and then pushed the guy down. And you're just like, oh shit, is Muda going heel? Muda. Not only is he going heel, he got the sharp part of the board, stabbed Hakushi in the face with it.
Oh shit!
Blood everywhere. Then towards the end of the match, Hakushi tries to go up on the ropes to do the rope walk. Mm-hmm. He slips, and then Muda goes, how dare you slip in my match, and shoots the mist in his face, hits him with the Shining Wizard, and then got the 1-2-3. But at the end of the match, he walks up to Hakushi, grabs that prayer stick that he stabbed him in the face with, puts his finger on his forehead and wipes off Hakushi's own blood, wrote the sign of the demon on it, and then handed it right back to him.
That's insane.
Cold fucking blooded.
Jesus.
That's why he's the GOAT!
The GOAT! Shinigami.
That whole event, I sat here for 3.5 hours watching that event. And then as soon as it was done, I was like, I need to watch it again.
I've never done that with the wrestling program.
Yeah, I bought it though. It was only like $25. That's not bad at all.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, I don't have a Wrestling Universe subscription anymore, which I should, because it's got DDT Pro, Tokyo Joshi Pro, and Noah.
Yay.
But I just bought it on Fight, because it's going to have English commentary.
Of course. You got it.
But, yeah, the last match for Muda's character, Kaiji Muto, kind of flip-flopped that. The last match for Kaiji Muto is going to be against Naito.
Yes.
And it's at the Pro Wrestling NOAH New Japan crossover show in February. It's coming together perfectly. I'm so excited.
That's honestly what a send-off for Muda. Couldn't fucking agree more.
And lastly, the last thing we got to talk about as far as wrestling goes is AEW had one hell of a Dynamite. You know, it starts off hot. there's no weak point in that entire show. But it's mostly what we want to talk about.
Aside from television production.
The main event. We want to talk about the main event mostly.
That shit was...
Mark Briscoe gets his chance to finally be on AEW TV in the ring on Warner Broadcasting.
That's awesome.
He goes one-on-one against Jay Lethal, a rival to his brother, and another pioneer for, like, heydays of Ring of Honor. The two had a great fucking match.
Oh, start to finish, man. Like, I don't know, like, technical shit, the high spot with the elbow to the outside was awesome.
That's beautiful.
Oh, it was so good. The sequence near the end, the lethal injection counter, Jay Driller counter, lethal injection counter, finally hit that Jay Driller. Ugh.
Yeah. And he covers him. I don't know if you noticed, but when he covered him, both of them were teary-eyed and started crying during the pin. I'm like, that's how much you know. Like, Jay Lethal and AEW are just like, fuck heels, fuck faces. This is respect. We're going to go out there. We're going to have a great match. No one's going to cheat. No one's going to be a heel. No one's going to be a face. We're just going to put on a great match for the man that we respect and love. And then the match went amazingly. Bang. The crowd was on their feet. The audience, the back emptied out. Everybody showed respect for Jay. It was a beautiful send-off.
Somebody called the Banger Bros, because that was a fucking banger. I can't believe
they just declined the trademark for Banger Bros. WWE said that was going to be something, and then they declined the trademark. Hold on, I found something about it. But while we're here and you brought it up, I need to.
The Banger Bros. I can't believe they thought that was a good fucking idea.
Yeah, I gotta see. Yeah. It's supposed to be the tag team name for Sheamus and Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't watch Raw or SmackDown, so I didn't know, but I had it pop up in my news thing. And I was like, disregard that. We're not going to talk about that. And then he brought it up, and I was like, hey, I know about this now.
Oh, my God. It's just, man. Honestly, what does that mean for Fight Night? The Brawling Brutes. I think this means that we're gonna get Pete Dunne back. We're gonna get the Bruiserweight back.
If we got the Banger Bros and they say no, can we go to Super Mash Brothers so we can bangers and mash?
That'd be fucking amazing, actually.
Super Mash Brothers.
Do it. Like, fuck. What else do they gotta prove?
Yeah, I have no real transition to this next part, but I gotta transition from this next part to the topic. So let's try this out. Recently I've been rewatching horror movies, as I said recently.
Yeah.
And one of the movies that I was rewatching recently is The People Under the Stairs.
Oh, Wes Craven. Nice.
Yes. Great, great movie, very well rounded. It's kind of like family friendly, but not like super family friendly.
Well, yeah,
like you can. It's good for the whole family, but everyone's gonna be a little uncomfortable.
Exactly.
But after I watched that, I was looking for like a podcast about that, so I can hear like what other people's takes are.
Yeah.
And the one thing I found out was, Jordan Peele was interested in revamping that movie.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
2020. He said he wants to redo that whole movie in his style. And I'm like, well, the whole thing is about, like, the gentrification of America.
Yep.
So, I mean, as much as you'd like to do, like, your whole, every movie I do is, like, all black, which would work, you can't have a commentary on gentrification without the white people.
That's
essentially
fair. I mean...
So, I think if you keep the main the mommy, the daddy, quote, and Alice as the token white people, and then have all the people under the stairs and the robbers still be black, then your movie's well-rounded. You have everything taken care of.
Yeah. You could definitely, I can definitely see that happen.
Yeah, because, like, you gotta have the people who are gentrifying. And yes. Then their daughter is Alice.
Yeah.
So that those three things gotta be cohesive. But having Roach, you can cast an African-American actor or a lesser-known actor for that part. Mm-hmm. All the people playing the nameless roles as the people under the stairs, all those, the cops, mm-hmm. all that. You're set. And I started thinking, if they were to reboot this movie, as well as other movies, because that's our topic, rebooting movies and casting people, who would you choose? And I have a couple ideas. Mm-hmm. Don't exactly know how well this is going to go, but this is my idea. People Under the Stairs reboot, okay? I want Ving Rhames to come back.
Yeah!
I want Ving Rhames to come back. We're not going to just... He's not going to be the same thing, but maybe he can be one of the other robbers, like the old man who just left and up and left. Because at this point, he's too old to be Fool's father.
That's true.
So we'd have somebody else, and we'll have somebody else play Fool. That's fine.
We love ourselves.
But I think it'd be cool and a good homage to the original movie to have Ving Rhames come back.
Yes.
Fool, I think, would be cool if we got Danny Boyd Jr. From the Watchmen TV show.
Oh, that would be so sick, actually.
He's like 15 now, maybe a little younger. I think that could work out. Age-wise, that'd be perfect. Or Tyree Malik Brown from Black-ish and Parenthood.
That would be so cool.
Same reason. Great actor. Not super well-known, so this could be a good way of getting his face to a different demographic and, you know, put himself in a franchised movie.
Horror's a great way to do that. Look at Jenna Ortega.
Yeah. Also, I'm thinking, in the original People Under the Stairs, Roach was played by Sean Whalen.
Yeah.
He had no prior acting experience before that.
Get somebody else, get another unknown for Roach?
Yeah. I'm thinking...
Good idea.
The rapper, he's not a rapper, but he's the nephew of a rap icon. Mm-hmm. Lauryn Hill's nephew, Isaiah Hill.
Yeah, okay.
That could work out. He's featured on this show called Swagger.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have many acting credits, but he's got a very unique look. And yeah. I think, just like Sean Whalen did back then, you wouldn't have to do too much. It'll fit the character,
mm-hmm.
and it would be a good way to launch the career if he was Roach.
Not a bad pick. Not a bad pick at all.
Also, novelty pick. I chose Ugly God.
Yeah, fuck
if he, Ugly
if
he
God.
If you ever wanted to do it.
Fuck Ugly God.
Ugly God a hoe. I feel like, because there's not a lot of dialogue for Roach. It's all just body acting.
Yeah.
So, like, even if it's, like, a rapper who's, like, I don't know if I'd be able to keep my lines. Like, cool, just provide the, like, the body language and the look in your set.
Yeah, you don't have any lines, really.
And the older couple, I don't have Alice, but I have the older couple in my mind. Mm. I have somebody like Thomas Gibson.
Ooh.
From Dharma and Greg in Criminal Minds.
Not bad.
He would play the old man. And maybe Catherine Hahn for the older woman.
Ugh, that's awesome, actually. I love Catherine Hahn.
Yeah. I think that'd be pretty good. Like, they're established enough, but they're not really known for this style of movie.
Exactly. So... I want to see this movie now.
That's what I like to do. I like to, like, think about it. I'm like, who's... wouldn't be in this, but would also make sense.
Exactly.
I got two other movies, but I can let you go now so we can trade off.
I want to see... I don't know. I'm not a huge fucking fan of remakes. Like, we do horror remakes.
You do fan casting, like if you were to replace people in what already happened.
I think we need a new fucking Nightmare on Elm Street. But I don't want to do a straight up remake. That would be something that I have no interest in. You could do a requel.
Would it be like a spinoff?
Maybe, yeah, like a requel. Maybe ignore the last couple entries in the franchise. Maybe ignore 4 or 5, and Freddy's dead. So, goes from maybe... I don't want to cut out Dream Warriors, but I also kind of want to bring Nancy back. So, like... Do what you did with, like, Halloween 2018 with Freddy. So maybe get rid of 3, 4, 5, and 6. And it's a new Nightmare on Elm Street 3, essentially. And you can call it that if you want, or you can call it Nightmare on Elm Street, subtitle, whatever.
Just call it straight up Dream Warriors, nothing with Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, I mean, you could call it just straight up Dream Warriors, to be honest. That would be so fucking cool. Or just Elm Street, or Dream Warriors and Elm Street story. And then you could bring back Heather Langenkamp as Nancy. Get a whole new cast of kids. You could, Timothy Chalamet would be fucking amazing in a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. And you could have, I don't remember her fucking name off the top of my head, but the girl...
Every time somebody says Timothy Chalamet, I'm just thinking of him from Don't Look Up. Because I fucking love fingerling potatoes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I think, hold on, let me look up her name, because there's a specific actor from... the new Scream movies that I think would be amazing in a fucking Nightmare on Elm Street
reboot. No, it would be kind of cool, though. I don't think they've ever done this.
What?
Is if you just take, like, somebody who was in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies,
mm-hmm.
and just have them turn into something akin to, like, Freddy.
Oh.
Like, maybe the Freddy-esque thing is done. But we take one of his victims and something horrifying happens to one of them at a later date.
Huh. That might be
cool. And
then
that spawns something else, so it's like a good offshoot. You can still pull from the past of all that and all the stories and all that, but this is still now its own thing with its own lore that's being created.
And then you can have Jasmine Savoy Brown as the new final girl. She's basically the new Nancy. I haven't thought about a cast to prop up around her, aside from Timothée Chalamet. But, yeah, I mean, I do want to see Freddy come back. I know Robert Englund doesn't want to fucking do that, but if you were going to, that's how I would do it. Maybe just, Freddy's back in town, and he's stalking new kids, and we're ignoring... 3, 4, 5, and 6, so that Nancy's still alive. And there
what
you go.
What if something unprecedented comes out of this, and you just, like, he revisits Nancy in the past, and just goes, "There's somebody I want you to meet."
Oh, man.
Your son.
Oh, shit. That would be fucking amazing, actually.
And now there's, like, younger Freddy, and you have a whole fucking thing to build off from there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could do something.
You don't know what happens when you're asleep.
You could do something. Oh, no.
I know, that was, I just want to
ask. Oh, God. But, no.
Concept, bad execution for that line.
Something like that. I mean, I know they did the fucking Freddy's Kid thing in 6. Maybe you could do it better here with somebody else.
They try to redo everything else. Why not try to redo that?
Yeah. Exactly. But that would be my pick. I want a new Nightmare on Elm Street, because I didn't hate the remake of that, but I also didn't love it.
I feel like I've talked about this last one when I said the Neverending Story remake. So
Yeah.
So I'm gonna skip that one. But this one is gonna be one that if Tawny was here, you would hear a groan from the other room, because nobody knows how much I love this movie. And it's not even ironically. I fucking love this movie. Short Circuit.
Yeah! Oh my god!
I think it would be awesome if the whole premise is Johnny Five. He now can connect to the internet.
That's amazing. Already sold.
Like, I saw something earlier that says, Johnny Five has no USB ports. no internal modem or Wi-Fi capability. He attempts to integrate new components in order to upgrade, but something goes wrong and his system begins to get corrupted. Sets out on a cross-country journey to find the one man that can restore his system with or without deleting his 30-plus years of memory. And that overall is like, give me that movie. But at the same time,
that
would imply the existence of Fisher Stevens and Brownface.
Oh.
And I'm like, I didn't hate the role. I just hated the what happened.
Recast him.
Yeah, I'm like, great acting on that part. In the moment, I'm like, I love this movie so much. I don't know anybody else who could have done a good job. But I didn't know of Fisher Stevens when that movie happened.
I
didn't know that it was a white guy in brown face. So now I'm like,
I forgot all about that, actually.
But I'm like, you'd have to have him if you're going to have the one guy who can fix his system, because he's the one that made him.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could recast.
I don't exactly... I said I don't exactly know who would play the rest of the people in the movie. I think that it would be funny if he finally gets connected to the internet and he just downloads the endless supply of random shit that's on the internet. And then he's like going down the street and you see like a construction worker and Johnny Five just turns his head and just looks at him. And in a RuPaul voice, you just hear, "You better work."
That's awesome.
And then just turns and just keeps going. The guy's like, "What the fuck was that?"
Oh my God, you can write this movie. You know what? The guy that made him is dead. He has to find his son. There we go.
Yeah, I saw something like that too. Hold on. And I think two people, the woman, maybe not, because I can't think of somebody who can do a good Stephanie spec. But true. The person who is going to be playing Steve Guttenberg's character, I think Mark Duplass would do good.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's not enough things.
No, definitely not.
I love him in Safety Not Guaranteed. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I watched that recently.
But, yeah, it's such a good movie.
Such a good movie.
But I don't know who could be the lady in it, but I thought maybe if you get like an all-star, maybe you can get like Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, that would be awesome. I want to see this movie.
And then somebody on Reddit said, if they couldn't get him to come back, then you got to go with, if they couldn't get Dr. Fisher Stevens to come back, you got to end this with, "Man, you're such an awesome bot. Why'd you get stuck at the back of the warehouse?" And then Johnny Five just goes, "Dr. Jabotuya, die. Disassemble. Johnny Five scared. Hide away."
And then
it's like an homage to its creator. No dissing, no nothing, but we don't get Fisher Stevens back. And it helps create the narrative that we're not seeing him anymore. Johnny Five has compassion. Now he's learning the world again.
Beautiful. We love to
see. I was like, fuck yeah. I'm reading this Reddit post from start to finish after coming up with the idea of a remake. And I'm like, give me all of this.
Do it. I'd love to see that, honestly. Yeah. I would watch
as much as I'd want a reboot, movie. I would also just like a new version.
Yeah.
But none of that CGI shit.
No, it has to be all practical.
Yeah, because there's moments where you have to, like, touch the robot and, like, put your arm around the robot and show him around like it's a person.
Yeah.
You can't do that with fucking nothing.
Yeah.
I can't be sitting there in a green cube talking to myself and then be like, "Oh, shit, look at all this stuff going on." But, yeah, those are my movie pitches. I was, like, getting mad hype when I was writing those. So I was like, hell yeah.
We love to see it.
Okay, so no smooth transition, but I'm interested in what your game is. So, Casey, it's time. What is the game?
I have a handful of quotes on my phone, and you have to guess whether or not the quotes are from Vince McMahon or a famous serial killer.
So, Vince McMahon.
Yes. But I have 10 quotes here. I could not find any more, because if I do the more famous ones, you'll know.
Oh, yeah, then I'm going to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, understandable.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like 10. That's a little low, but at the same time, it's like, how many ones that could be either way could there be?
You'd be fucking surprised.
Ed Bundy totally said Brett screwed Brett. I know that for sure.
Definitely. But anyway, let's start this off. First quote. Basically, I was a normal person.
Is that the end of the quote?
That's the end of the quote.
Serial killer?
Yep, that's Jeffrey Dahmer. You got the first one right. No, Ted Bundy. Sorry, my bad.
I was going to say Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, hell yeah.
All right. The only way to stop the arms race is to cut off the demand.
Oh, I feel like I know this one. Okay, hold on. Is this Vinnie Mac?
No, that's David Berkowitz.
Oh, shit. I was going to say, this seems like something that would happen around the time where he was part of the ministry.
Oh, my God. Yeah, actually.
I'm like, quite a few. That's gotta be it.
Quite a few of these, dude. Kind of.
You gotta cut off the arm of demand.
I enjoy destroying lives.
Oh, that's Vinnie Mac.
That's Vince McMahon, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I could have sworn I heard him say that.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so I'm 2 for 3.
Oh my God. I think the internet, and I do love the free flow of ideas on the net, is like the Wild West of the information world.
Gotta be a serial killer, right?
No, that's Vince McMahon.
I can't think of Vinnie Mac talking about the fucking Wild West or like knowing what the internet is.
Yeah, no, it's so strange. Oh my God. All right, next one. I was so full of hate that there was no room in me for such feelings as love, pity, kindness, or honor, or decency. My only regret is that I wasn't born dead, or not at all.
That's a serial killer.
Yep. Carl Panzram.
Yeah, I knew that one. As soon as you got, like, the first sentence, I was like, I know this.
Oh, yes. I am not afraid of falling. Or failing. I don't like to fail. I hate to fail. But I'm not afraid to.
Vinnie Mac.
That is a Vinnie Mac quote, yes.
Yeah. So I'm like 3 for 3. No, 3 out of 6, I think now.
Three out of six, yeah. You can't go back and change the past. It's over with. All we can do is try to make it better.
That's a serial killer.
Yep, Gary Ridgway.
Yeah.
We love to see
it. Fucking Vince McMahon talking about making the future better. That's bullshit.
It will never happen. I must slaughter the infidel.
That's Vince McMahon, I think.
That is Vince McMahon. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's like fucking Saudi Arabia Vince McMahon. But that's
fucking
Vince McMahon
either way. Serial killer be like, we must try to do better every day. Vince McMahon, I enjoy destroying lives.
Serial killers being like, we gotta make the future better. Vince McMahon, slaughter infidels.
Oh my God. If a person doesn't think there's a God to be accountable to, then what's the point of trying to modify your behavior to keep it within acceptable ranges? That's how I thought, anyway. I always believed the theory of evolution is truth, and that we all just came from the slime. When we died, you know, that was it. There was nothing.
That's a serial killer.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yep.
There we go. All right. And last couple ones here. I don't know what drives me. I don't have a clue, but I'm driven more today than I've ever been.
Vinnie Mac?
That is a Vinnie Mac quote, and that was the last one.
Yeah, okay, so I think I got
most of them.
I think I only got 4 wrong.
Yeah, you only got 4 wrong, so 6 out of 10, not bad.
Yeah, not bad. I thought I'd do, actually.
That's there's a cross-section of the way Vince McMahon's mind works. And
yeah,
the most,
when some serial killers have more morals than Vince McMahon,
it's crazy. Honestly, I knew that was a good game. I knew that was a good game.
You should do more things like that. Just mix up the things.
Yes. I'm excited for that.
Be like, is this something Joe Biden would say, or is this Jadakiss?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, honestly.
That'd probably be good. I probably only know, like, one Jadakiss thing, so that'd be, like, whatever. Be like, is this a politician, or is this a rapper?
Yes, actually.
That might be good.
That might be great.
Well, keep that in mind, because I know we didn't really say it at the beginning of this, but this episode right here is our last episode for a little bit. It's not the final.
Nope.
But it's the final for now.
For now.
I need new equipment on my end. I need a break. We need to up our audience. We need to find a way of growing the brand a little bit. And we need to focus on the website as well as just, like, trying to be more consistent with stuff. So we'd rather focus on building besides the podcast itself, especially now that recording is a pain in the ass for me. I need a new laptop.
Exactly.
I need new microphones. So when we come back from all this, I think in like a month and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 months. We're going to try to do more things in person at the studio. We're going to try to make things more consistent with the podcast like we did today. News first, discussion, games, whatever. We're going to try things to make things a little easier, a little more fluid. And we're going to try to use other tools at our disposal. There were talks of we can do Facebook Live, we can do TikTok Live. We're going to talk about doing them. We have like 2,500 people on TikTok. We can go live. Figured if we do that while we record, people can ask us questions in real time. People can play off of what we're saying. We can play off of what they're saying. Makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, trying to get things a little bit back on track to where the direction they were going before the pandemic.
Yeah, if there's just me and Casey, why not have a third person? The third person be you.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to try that out, see how it goes. But in the meantime, we're going to take a little break from the podcast. We're going to focus on website content, talking about things in our groups, and just overall promoting what's going on in the music and movie and wrestling scene on all of our social medias. So thank you for, 144 episodes? I'm probably wrong. I'll figure that out later.
Yeah, over 140, I think. Yeah.
So thank you for all that support. And as Casey said beforehand, say it, Casey.
It's not goodbye. It's just see you later. And I hope you've enjoyed the show, and we appreciate every bit of support we've gotten over the last fucking 5 years.
Yeah. Just about, over five, but not quite six yet.
Not quite six yet.
But you can find us on justplainfilthy.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find former episodes on anchor.fm/justplainfilthy.
Spotify.
And Twitter and Instagram at JPF Podcast. So thank you guys for checking out and sitting with us, and have a great day.
Have a good night.